here and see the Lord. It's going to be wonderful, and we won't have enough time to just say hallelujah to the Lamb for all of eternity, for all that He's done for us. It's going to be wonderful, and I sure hope you're looking forward to that time. I don't understand people that don't like to sing, even if you're like me and you can't sing. Amen? I can't wait till that day. I'm going to sing just like those guys or better. Amen. I'll probably sing bass, probably, is what's going to happen. And that's wonderful. I appreciate the singing. I get to hear those songs every night, like them every time. In fact, I think I'm liking them even better every night. So praise the Lord. These guys are wonderful. I hope you'll take a moment to get to know them and meet them. The best thing I can say about our college is that our students are simply wonderful. And they make the college. They make it what it is. And we're working on these guys. But, I mean, most of them are pretty solid guys. These are some fine young men, the ones from Lancaster, the ones from the other parts of the country. We thank the Lord for them. And got tremendous testimonies. They've been winning souls and reaching people this summer. And we thank the Lord that we're able to travel together. I'd like you to take your Bibles for just a few moments and turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter number 33. I want you to go ahead and stand, please. I know you've been sitting for a while. And I just appreciate that. I think it'd be good for you and good to just respect the Word of God for just here. And how many of you just thankful you got a Bible tonight? Amen? Man, I just tell you, what a privilege we have to have a copy, a preserved copy of the Bible. Man, I love the Word of God. I'm thankful that I have it. Don't have to doubt it, question it, wonder about it. It's settled. Amen? And what a privilege to just open it up and read it every day. And develop that close relationship with the Lord. I want to share with you actually something the Lord really spoke to my heart about today. And just a devotional thought, if I may, from Deuteronomy chapter 33. And before I read the verse that I want to remind you of what's going on in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, of course, means second law. It's the second giving of the law. It's the last time that Moses gathered the children of Israel together to remind them of what God has done and what God expects of them as they're now getting ready to enter into the promised land. Of course, you know, Moses is not going with them. In fact, the last chapter, many scholars, Joshua recorded that, and as Moses dies in chapter 34. But basically, as you get down to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, after he has already given the law again in synopsis form, Moses then does two things. In chapter number 32, he gives a song for them to sing and record it. It's a beautiful one, and there's an entire message or three there that we could give. But then in chapter 33, his one final time, his one final moment after all that he said, is he shares a blessing with each of the tribes of the children of Israel. And I'll be honest with you folks, these are some of the most beautiful verses in all of the Bible. I certainly don't have time to share all of them with you, but one has stuck out in my heart, and I trust will be a help to you tonight. Look, if you will, verse number 12. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse number 12. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. My, my, my. What a blessing. Now I want to say this to the young people and anybody in the room tonight, as this does relate to what we're talking about tonight. The closeness with which we are to God will determine how much we trust God with our lives. When you're close to Him, you don't worry about a thing. Because you know that when you're in His hands, close to His heart, in a close relationship with Him, that's the best place you could be no matter where on the map He puts you. Let's pray together and we'll look at this for just a moment. God, I pray You'll bless these few moments. I thank You for the thought. I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, that this is a word from You to the children of Israel that has bearing and relevant application for us today. And Lord, I pray that we'll learn something tonight. I pray that we'll all draw a little bit closer to You. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. There are many things that I enjoy in life. But perhaps the thing that I'm enjoying the most right now is the privilege of being a father. What an awesome privilege. My family's been with me actually till yesterday, and I hated that they're not with me. But my daughter had to go today and get a tooth pulled, and she is not really a happy camper today. But my daughter's 4 years old. She'll be five this coming September. And my wife's 7 months pregnant right now with our second child. And our child is going to be a boy this time. So we got a girl that's going to be four, almost five. And then a son coming that's going to be due at the end of August. So we're thrilled. Now, this is the first time my wife's been pregnant, though. My first child was adopted. And we thank God for the way He's led in our family and what He's done for us. And I can tell you this for sure, that when you have a child, just a child in general, for sure, we understand, any parent in the room understands the relationship that I'm getting ready to describe. But particularly when you have an adopted child, it's really a particularly special relationship because it's such a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. I mean, we are adopted, amen? I mean, the day that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we were given perfect, complete, and ultimate standing as if we were naturally born into the family of God. God gave us that status with Him. And now we get to enjoy permanent, eternal fellowship with God as an adopted child. You know, one of the interesting things when we adopted is before I finalized the adoption, I had to have a written will with my daughter included in it. In fact, I can never take my adopted daughter out of my will. Now, my natural children, I can't. I mean, if they're a bunch of rats and they don't serve God and I don't want to give them anything, maybe I won't. But my daughter, who's adopted, can never lose out on her inheritance. Think about that for just a moment. We've been given an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. Hey, it's pretty good to be adopted. Now, my daughter understands that. From the time that she's been able to talk till now, she knows that she's adopted. I don't think she knows what it means. I didn't want to pull it out on her when she was 16, you know, and surprise her. Truth of the matter is, my daughter has a different skin color than me, so it's kind of easy to see right away. And many people say, well, she kind of looks like me, and I, yeah, whatever. No, she really doesn't. She's a little different ethnicity, but I tell you what, I couldn't love anybody more than her. One of the things I notice about my daughter from time to time is when something's not right, when she's scared, when she's hurting, there's just one thing she wants to do. She wants me to hug her. In fact, the other day we were driving and we covet your prayers as we drive across the country. Literally, the other day we had a car swerve into our lane on a two-lane highway in Texas and literally ran us off the road. And we were driving through about 2 feet tall grass on the side of the road. And thank God there were no trees or culverts or any kind of serious bumps. And God totally protected us. But as soon as the van stopped, my daughter just barely out of her mouth said this, "Daddy, I'm scared." Recently, my daughter had a first tooth pulled, and I know one of the first things that she wants to do whenever she's sick, whenever she's hurting, whenever she's struggling, is as long as she can get in my lap and put her head right here on my chest and let me wrap my arms around her, you know what? That's all that she needs. Now, listen to the statement from God in this verse. He says to Benjamin's tribe, He says to them, "You are, first of all, the beloved of the Lord." Now, that's a wonderful thing. That speaks of the covenant relationship with God, that we are close to Him, that He's made a commitment to us. In fact, the word that is used here, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is the word Jehovah. It's a unique word to Israel. It was a word not just that He was God or Adonai or the Creator, but that He was personal. And He's reminding Benjamin that I have a personal relationship with you. But notice at the end of the chapter, or the end of the verse, what He says to Benjamin. He says this, "And he, Benjamin, shall dwell between his God shoulders." Do you see the picture? Where's between the shoulders? Well, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like God giving you a big giant hug. I just want to stop and say this today to any adult, any young person. When you are close to God, when you are there, when you're in a right relationship with Him, when you are so close to Him that you can hear His heartbeat, you can know His thoughts, you can know His plan, and you don't want anything more in your life than what He wants, and you have a personal covenant relationship with Him that is deep, it is rich, it is real, you will find this. That nothing else will satisfy you. Nothing else will be what you want to run to or cleave to. You'll have no other plans or desires for your life because you'll know this, that when I am hurting and when I'm questioning and when I'm doubting and when I'm struggling and even when I'm not, the best place I could ever be in the world is between the shoulders of my God. I just got a call a couple weeks ago from a dear friend of mine in North Carolina. He's about 40 years old. His wife is about the same. They have 5 children. Their oldest child is 13 right now. She was just diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Spread to her liver. It's in her lymph nodes. Literally, there's only one thing they can have. And that's a miracle. Last night, as I spoke to Matt via text message, Matt told me that he was getting ready to stand up in front of about 300 college students that were working at their Christian camp. And this was going to be the subject of his sermon. Listen very carefully. His wife, the day before, or a couple days before, has been told, you've got stage 4 cancer. There's nothing much we can do. You better pray for a miracle. And hear this. Matt stands up last night, and this is what he preached on. The goodness of God. You want to know why? He's dwelling between the shoulders. And I will say this to you. We better start dwelling between the shoulders so that we know we can trust God with our life. Every teenager, while you're young, you know what you need to learn now? You better learn to be dwelling between those shoulders. You better learn that the best place you could ever be is close to God, because when you are, you'll want nothing more the rest of your life than to love Him, serve Him, and follow Him, because once you've tasted that, you'll want nothing else. And everything else will be a sorry substitute for closeness to Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for having us tonight. We're looking forward to fellowship. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing on dismissal of our service. Lord, I pray Your blessing upon the service tonight. We thank You so much for allowing us to be here, allowing us to share this moment together. We thank You for this church and for the pastor. Lord, I pray You bless tonight. Use this short devotional message and, Lord, the music and the video. I pray that it would all have been resounding to the glory and praise and honor of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who alone is worthy. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would